Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey friends, Shauna here. You know, how we view life's inevitable setbacks can have a profound effect on our overall well-being. After all, crumbling under the weight of disappointment isn't nearly as productive as finding a way to be happy with a new reality, even when that reality is beyond anything we could have imagined. Michaela Renee Johnson is sharing her profound story of turning life's stumbling blocks into stepping stones on this episode and how you can do the very same thing in your life.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Compton Game, where we flip the script on the old-school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
You're already one of our biggest fans of the pod, but I want to invite you to go deeper behind the scenes with me every single month. Get all the scoops on what I'm loving, catch up on popular podcast episodes, and check out a video with a money tip in each monthly email delivered straight to your inbox. Plus, since I'm a big fan of having dessert first, I'm going to send you an exclusive bonus podcast episode, 5 minutes to reset your money mindset when you sign up as an added treat. Head over to mmoneypodcast.com and enter your email address in the box on the homepage to sign up. Again, that's mmoneypodcast.com. I can't wait to see you behind the scenes. I'm so excited to bring this episode to you because Michaela's story is so amazing to share. She was just 12 years old in 1992 when a big financial slump forced her family to move from this upscale area in Sacramento to a very small 27-foot trailer in the Sierra Nevada mountains. No electricity, no running water, so that meant no Nintendo, no MTV, basically no anything. But it wasn't, of course, the life that every 12-year-old dreams of, but it was her reality. It was the life that Michaela was living. And through her ups and downs throughout her entire life, she's learned really how to focus on what she was gaining instead of what she's actually lost in life. And through that process, she uncovered the truth about her own ability to thrive no matter what. So Michaela chronicles this all in her new book, Teetering on Disaster, but she's sharing her powerful story with you today. So let's dive in. Your story is so powerful, and I really want to dive into it. You say that how we view life's inevitable setbacks really has this profound effect over our well-being, and I so agree. Is there a way to find happiness in any situation?
I believe that we have to. I think that's really what it comes down to. Otherwise, we end up succumbing to things like anxiety and depression. Inevitably, we're going to experience those emotions, but how we look at the experiences that we have in life is what sets us up for the future. And I also believe that within every sadness or pain, there is some light and hope. And so I think that's the goal, is to find the positive message in whatever it is that we're going through at the time.
I like that you say that. And I know you have this incredible story that I want to get into. And you talk about that lightness and hope. And I know that sometimes when I'm in a tough situation, it's hard to find that in the moment. In retrospect, it's like, oh yeah, of course, that's why it happened. Are there any practical ways to like find that in the moment?
Well, that's the thing is, I think that anytime we're in the throes, and there's different levels, right? I mean, in my practice, I see people that are going through all different kinds of things in life. So I see people who, you know, are maybe going through a separation or are having a tough time in their job, to the mother that just lost a child. So I think there's different levels of these experiences and these pains that we experience as we go through our lifetime. And I believe that in each of our journey, these things are there to help us grow. And I am a firm believer that I don't think we get handed anything more than we can handle. So, you know, in this lifetime, we have these different experiences, and it sometimes feels maybe impossible, like the weight of a million boulders. And it's not until much later that we can reflect and find that positivity. But I think it can help if in the moment we take time for gratitude for the things that are going right, or the things that we are appreciative of. And that can work in the most intense of pain and trauma to the lightest of pain and trauma.
I like gratitude. It's something I've really tried to focus on this year. And I could tell you, even in tough situations, gratitude really, it like brings you back to this place. And I can't quite describe what that is, but it's this place of awareness of, okay, I've got a lot of great things that have happened or that are happening. And this other thing that's not so good, maybe it's not that big of a deal, or maybe I don't need to give it that much attention. And I think gratitude is just so important.
And sometimes we just want to be angry, or we just want to stew in it for a minute. And I think that's okay too. It's like, you know what? It's 10:09 and I'm going to give myself until 10:15 to just be a grumpy butt about it. And that's okay too. But then at 10:15, I'm going to start trying to find something that brings me a little bit more positivity and lightness in the way I'm feeling. Because it's up to us if we want to sit with that. And ultimately, you know, not forgiving people or not moving past things, the only person these ultimately hurt is ourselves.
I like that. I like the time factor. I'm giving myself X amount of time that I can feel however I want to feel. And then I got to pick myself up, dust off, and let's go forward. I like that advice.
Exactly.
You have this story. You were 12 years old and there was this financial slump that happened. You say forced your family to move from a relatively upscale area into a trailer with no electricity, no running water. Walk me through a little bit, because that feels very, like that would be very traumatic, especially for somebody 12 years old. What was that time like for you?
I think that it was definitely a lot harder for me than it was for my two younger brothers. For them, you know, they saw it as like, oh, this is a fun camping adventure in the woods that just kind of never ends.
Yeah.
Like Swiss Family Robinson style. Right. Where for me, being, you know, tween, I was super hyper aware of the loss that I was experiencing, the loss of friendships, the loss of routines that I knew, the loss financially of being able to go and pick out school clothes or, you know, get things that were popular or trendy at that time. And really even just my existing stuff. So we packed everything up and it went into a storage unit, everything that was not absolutely necessary. And because we only had a 27-foot fifth wheel. So there was very limited space to bring anything with us. And so I think what I mostly felt at that time was this great sense of loss. And I think people experience losses throughout their lifetime in all sorts of different ways. And they look different, but the feelings deep down inside tend to have the same impact on our emotional well-being.
Yeah. Was there anger on your part or confusion or what sort of emotion were you feeling other than that the loss, of course?
You know, it's one of those things where my family has always been a very tight-knit unit. And so for me, my mom was 17. My mom and dad were 17 years old when they had me. So I really grew up a lot with them. And so I was very closely connected to their emotional state as well. And I think that I didn't have a lot of space to be angry because I knew this was coming from a space of necessity for them. And I saw their struggles too, both working two full-time jobs to try to make ends meet, working so hard to try to rebuild that I don't think I had a lot of room for anger. I definitely had my moments where I felt resentful towards the situation, but I don't think anger was a big emotion for me. It was more just that, I would say for sure confusion or loss and just knowing that it wasn't going to change anytime soon, that it was going to be a long process.
Right. And 12 is certainly a very interesting age. I can't speak for boys, but for being a female, I know that 12 is like a really fascinating time in 12, yeah, 13 kind of age range.
Yeah.
And you're just discovering who you are. There might be things changing in your body. And then to have something like this happen, I can only imagine just how that would play with you just being that age.
Privacy wasn't really a thing. We didn't really have privacy. And, you know, at the time we had a porta potty in the yard and it was probably only like 25 steps from our door because we didn't have a flushing toilet. But I remember my little brother. So in the daytime, we would pick up our sleeping bags and put them in this little shelf. And then at nighttime, we would roll our sleeping bags out on the couches that were, it was kind of like an L shape.
Yeah.
Against the back wall of the trailer. And my brothers, they would be afraid to go outside and go to the bathroom at night because where we moved has mountain lions and wolves and bears and, you know, foxes and coyotes and all that. So I can remember, you know, like sitting in the porta potty with them at night when they had to go potty. So, you know, that's the level of privacy that existed, which was pretty much none. So it was definitely a challenge. But my dad built a little shed that we were able to store some extra clothes. And I had, you know, a little more privacy then as we started to kind of grow into the property and building, you know, we gained a little bit more of that.
Right. That is definitely like some things you wouldn't necessarily think about. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of privacy, not issues, but I mean, it's a good thing that you guys were close as is. That probably was a bit helpful in that situation.
And I would say what's funny is all of our personality types today are pretty open, transparent, what you see is what you get kind of people, because that's the environment that we kind of came up in. There wasn't secrecy. There wasn't, you know, if you had a feeling about something, you said it and everybody heard it.
That's great. I love that. I love that. And I talk a lot on this show about a concept I call money story, and how whatever happened to us as a kid really shapes, either consciously or unconsciously, our views on money and life in general. Did this time really change how you thought about money, or was that more of sort of an unconscious through line for you?
No, it's a very conscious recognition for me that growing up like we did, I was old enough to understand what had happened, which is that my dad had a construction business. He built a bunch of spec homes. The economy crashed and he wasn't able to sell those homes. So he was out all of the money he'd spent on subs and things like that. I was well aware of what happened. And rather than declare bankruptcy, they decided to sell everything we owned and purchase everything with cash moving forward. So it was a very honorable thing that my dad and my mom together. But I learned from a very young age that credit was the devil and you should never live outside of your means. So for me, I was terrified of credit. It wasn't until I was a little bit older in college that I realized I needed to start having some credit just to be able to get a cell phone and things like that. But I was overly obsessed with my credit score. I was, you know, very cautious to have an Excel spreadsheet of a budget every month all through college. So to this day, I have no debt. I have a small mortgage, but I have no debt. Everything in my life is owned and paid for. And that's what I learned. And that's how I was raised. Now, my younger brothers, interestingly enough, my youngest one, who's 6 years younger than me, did not have that experience. So when, by the time he was older, my parents at that point had recovered quite a bit when he was in high school, and, you know, they were able to spend money on him and things like that. And I don't think he quite learned, the finance piece in the same way that I did. So he manages his finances very differently than I do, where he's more of like a live for the moment. Yeah. And if it's something that's going to bring me happiness, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, I'm going to assess this down to the penny, make sure it's not going to overdo my budget or stress me out, you know? And so we're very different that way, which is interesting.
I'm glad you share that, because I think that's a great perspective, that you can be in a family unit and you all could have very different feelings about money or how you manage your money or how you look at money. And you could all be very diverse because you're all living different experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's so true. And even just the age difference and the way he was sheltered from that, where I was much more cognizant of it, I think made a big difference too.
Exactly. And there are a lot of really terrible statistics about people not having a lot of money saved, and obviously a lot of people living on credit and debt. And even if you do have a good job, you could wake up one day and all of that vanishes, and then you have to make tough choices. I remember my dad in his 50s woke up one day and he worked for a big company, and suddenly he lost over 60% of his income, and it was really tough to watch. So I learned from a really young age, probably just like you did, that money does come and go. Nothing is guaranteed. So I'm curious, based off your own experience, how could you find peace in having to make those tough money decisions? Like, what if you are in a situation like that where you're having to make a decision? How do you find some sort of peace in that?
So a couple of thoughts come to mind. And the first one is that in the book Teetering on Disaster, which is the memoir, that I had that second experience as an adult later in my life when I went through my divorce and had to literally get rid of everything again, split everything, go through all of that loss again in a different kind of way as an adult. But I think what it boiled down to for me is, even to this day, I don't find so much happiness in tangible things. I've learned that happiness has to be intrinsic. It has to come from inside, and it has to be from experiences and moments. It can't come from things. And so for me, if you strip me down to nothing, I know I'm going to be okay because I can find happiness in the relationships that I have, in just seeing a pine tree swaying in the wind, in going for a great hike, in seeing the endless horizon at the ocean, things like this. And I think for me, the biggest life experience or lesson that I had is that happiness is simplistic and it's not based on monetary value.
We share.
Certainly,
yes,
money can help you do the things you want to do that bring you happiness. And in that way, I mean, you know, in my family, we all have a very strong work ethic. We all worked from very young ages. So I know that money allows me to donate to the causes that I believe in, to travel to places that I want to see and experience, cultures that I want to experience. But I look at it in a different way than things, if that makes sense.
Hey, let's do 2020 right. We've had so many amazing authors on the show and so many more to come this year that we thought, why not start a Book of the Month Club? So every month, read along with us as we learn about new money concepts and hear stories from some of our amazing guests. For January, we're kicking it off with reading Keisha Player's book, Holistic Wealth, 32 Life Lessons to Help You Find Purpose, Prosperity, and Happiness. You can easily just head to the show notes for a link to purchase your copy on Amazon and start your journey to cultivating a holistic wealth mindset right now.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
It's a balance, right? I mean, it is a mindset piece as well of what you're focusing on and how much value you're placing on different things. But there is a balance component, right?
Absolutely. I think that when I see people that are struggling a lot, it's because they are unbalanced in where they're putting their energy or where they're putting their love or where they're putting their thoughts, for sure.
We share a lot in common. I went through a divorce myself, very, very, very early 30s. And I had that experience where I had nothing, literally nothing. I had a car and I had a suitcase full of a few odds and ends of clothes. And everything that I'd collected over 8-9 years prior to that was no longer belonged to me. And I remember when I rented my first apartment after that experience, and I walked in, and the guy that was giving me the key, he said, "Oh, when are the movers coming to bring your stuff?" And I said, "I'm it, and this is all I have." And he looked at me very confused. And I said, "Oh, I just went through a divorce." And he's like, "Oh, and this is literally all I have."
My uncle once told me he split the sheet so many times, all he had left was a napkin.
Yes, it's true. It's true. My friends threw me a divorce party, which sounds crazy. But what they did, I asked them, come bring all your odds and ends from kitchen stuff, because all of those things you don't think about, like, you know, and all of those things are, you know, I would either have to go out and buy those or somehow come up with those. So I was laughing.
What a great idea.
Yeah. I thought, you know, everybody has
12 plates.
Yeah. Everyone has an extra toaster or an extra something, you know, I'll happily accept. And then I will gift it on to somebody else in that situation down the line. But I remember having this moment of clarity that I really have never had in my life of, my gosh, like, it was this weight off me that all of this stuff really didn't mean anything. And it sounds so simple to say that, but it was this feeling from deep down within that I can't really explain to anybody else who hasn't been through that experience, but it really, it frees you up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've had a lot of clients lately that, have come to see me. It's couples, they've been purchasing homes that need work or fixer up or just different things like this. And the amount of stress that these projects and these finances create on the marriage. And I asked them outright, if I were to remove this house from your life, what would your marriage look like?
We would travel.
We'd be in our RV on weekends. We'd be doing this. We'd be doing that. And I kind of just nod and say, well, how long do you want to keep doing this? If this is what your life continues to look like in 4 years, will you be happy? If not, then we need to start taking some action now and lose some of the attachment that you have to this idea that we were going to fix up this home and we were going to do this and that and whatever, you know, that kind of thing.
That's such a great story, because I think we feel like, particularly when it comes to money and buying things, we feel like there's this timeline that we have to create our life in this series of timeline. And if we don't do it, somehow we're not doing it right, or we're not perfect, or we failed, or whatever, fill in whatever word you want in the blank there. And that's not true. I love that idea of, what would you do? What would your life look like if you didn't have this thing? And particularly with marriage, would your marriage stand up if there wasn't these things?
Absolutely. Yeah. My husband and I say we did everything backwards. We did the house thing, then we did the kid thing, and then we did so we kind of do things unorthodoxly, but it's really freed us up to not have to fall into those kind of traditional, you do this, then this, then this, then this, you know?
Yeah. And you talk about living this very simple life still. And if I'm honest, I'm a little bit envious of it. I mean, you talk about your dogs and your cat and your animals and where you live. Has that really helped you stay rooted to happiness?
You know, it's interesting. When I first moved back up from San Diego to the Sierra Nevadas, I struggled for a long time. Again, with that sense of loss, you know, loss of my friendships, loss of stuff, loss of things, stuff like that. But after moving through that process, I've realized that, that my heart is true to exactly who I am. I am completely being me. And that feels so spectacular. No matter what tough thing I go through, at the end of the day, I know that I'm being authentically me. And, it feels good to have that level of congruency with what I believe in my heart and what my external self is to everybody around me.
And that idea of being you, of really understanding what makes you tick, I'm really fascinated by this, because I think particularly in culture, there's a lot of noise coming at us, and it may even be from our internal family. It may be from social media, you name it. But I think a lot of people are really struggling to figure out who they are. Are there any tips you have of what if you're that person and you're really stuck trying to figure out what are you about?
Yeah, I do a lot of this kind of work in my practice. I love to encourage people to think about the them they were before the world got to them. So thinking about yourself as a young person and all of the things that you wanted to be. And this is one of the things that I really encourage my teenagers. I say, if anybody asks you, what do you want to be? I want you to reply, I want to be a lot of things. And now I want you to share with me what those lot of things are, because I think we get stuck in this idea that I said I was going to do this career. And so this is what I'm going to do because that's what everyone expects of me now. And maybe that's not bringing us happiness anymore. And so I really encourage people to go back to a time when there wasn't limits, when they didn't pigeonhole themselves into a title or, certain letters after their name, and think about all of the things they wanted to do in their life. And then I start hearing things like, oh my gosh, you know, I really loved art and I really wanted to do this and this and this, or I wanted to be a professional baseball player. And then I'll say, well, do you play baseball now? No, I'm too old. Really? Because there's a lot of rec leagues for old people, you know? So in looking at these kinds of things that brought you a lot of joy before you had to choose, before you had to decide what was going to make everybody else happy, look at these things and then figure out how you can incorporate or start to incorporate these things in your life now. And if there are no limitations to what you could do, age isn't a limitation, you know, maybe your health isn't a limitation, what would your life look like? And then find those things that you can modify and tweak and bring them into your life in some way.
And even that idea that you don't have to just be one thing, I think is terribly freeing.
I hate when I hear people ask a teenager, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm like, ah, stop. No, they don't have to be one thing. They could love photography and love being, you know, math and love riding sport bikes. They can love all these things and they can incorporate all these things into their life. But when we stick ourselves into a box and say, oh, this is the path you're on, this is what you're going to do. Or, you know, even just with marriage, even just with having kids, I'm going to be a wife, I'm going to be a mother, I'm going to do these things. Well, now this wife and mother feels like I have to be all these things before I get to do anything that I also love. I mean, we can be wife, we can be mom, and we can be, you know, an actress or, you know, whatever,
a
singer songwriter or whatever we want to be. We can do all of those things. And I think where we get stuck is the idea that we can't.
Exactly. Gosh, if I could put an exclamation point on that, and you're also speaking to me right directly now too. I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about your book, Teetering on Disaster. Like, what led you to say, okay, I want to actually chronicle my story in a book? And what are some of the things that you talk about in the book?
So ironically, it started as an online blog.
Oh.
And it was my therapeutic healing tool. So I was posting these stories of my childhood, and then I would share the link with friends and family and things like that. And it really just kind of blew up. And I started getting emails from people that said this story made me laugh so hard that I cried, or this story inspired me to do something differently in my life. And it just kind of continued to progress. And at some point, someone said, why don't you make this a book?
Yeah.
So that's how it kind of came to be. It was really a therapeutic healing tool for me. It was like an online journal. And then it morphed into this real life book. And I'm proud of it. At first, I struggled with the idea that it was out there. I struggled with how my parents would be received by people that read it, and my brothers and things like that. And now I've really embraced the idea that I spoke my truth with grace, and I'm proud of that.
As you should be. And I'm curious, when you were writing the book and you were putting this all, like, sort of recounting these stories, were you remembering details that maybe you had sort of forgotten as an adult that you were kind of pulling out going, oh yeah, like that happened. And maybe that's why I feel this way about something.
So ironically, because my family is so close, at the time I was living in San Diego, they were living here in Sierra Nevada. And I would come up to see them for holidays, and we would recount these stories, and we would laugh, and we would joke, and we would, you know, in the moment they felt so overwhelming, but now in hindsight, we're cracking up at these memories. And so a lot of the stories came to be from just us resharing them together. And the other thing is, I have a super photographic memory.
Wow.
So some of my most vivid memories were pictures that were taken or snapshots in my mind that I had stored. And so I've always loved photography, and a camera was gifted to me on my 16th birthday, which or 16th Christmas, which we didn't have any money. So this camera was a big deal. And so a lot of it kind of came from that, was from either sharing the memories with my family and or photos that I had that I remembered. Oh yeah, I remember that day, and we did this and we did that and that kind of thing.
Photos are so great, because you can look at a photo and it just takes you back in a way that is just like the best invention ever.
It's so true.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think it annoys the heck out of my family that I always have my camera with me. And this was before cell phones had cameras. I've always had a camera with me, and I'm like the over-documenter.
oh, that's you. You're that one.
I am. I'm horrible. And I swear I was there, but I'm photographing everybody else.
Yeah.
And so I put together these photo albums, and I do YouTube videos and things like that of different adventures we've had. And people always in hindsight are like, gosh, I'm so glad that you took those pictures, that we had those moments, you know. But in the moment, they're like, gosh, do we have to take another picture?
Right, exactly. Yeah, my husband and I always joke, because whenever we travel, we have pictures of everything else but us together.
Right.
Like, why is this? It looks like we don't even exist, except maybe a selfie here or there. But yeah, so we're kind of in your vein, in your camp. Well, I'm asking everyone that I talked to this month to help us walk through what it means to have a healthy mindset and truly find this idea of balance in life. So I'm curious, what do we need to keep top of mind in our pursuit of happiness, no matter what the setbacks are or what the situation?
Man, that is such a great question. And as you were asking it, I was thinking about contentment or peace. And I think that when it comes to our bodies, our minds, anytime that we have little bits of, you know, twangs of pain here and there, like, you know, a pulled muscle or just getting a headache, or maybe it's a belly ache or something like that. I think that's like a physical manifestation of our body saying something isn't balanced. And it's a really great opportunity to take some time to do some mindful meditation or mindful thoughts, and sit somewhere, find a very peaceful environment, and just kind of close your eyes and listen to what your body is actually telling you, and listen to what comes to you. And for me, that's the fastest and best way that I reset when I'm starting to feel those physical kind of, you know, ailments. I go, oof, something's not balanced. I'm putting my energy in too much of this place or not enough of that place. And I need to just spend a little time, sit, reset, reconnect with my basic human functioning, which is, you know, in our old caveman days, they used to spend a whole lot of time sitting and reflecting and listening and thinking. And that is when, you know, as humans, we've grown so much from allowing that time for our mind to develop and grow and experience. I mean, you know, Einstein's greatest developments came from spaces of near meditation when he was just sitting and thinking, you know, even Newton underneath the apple tree. So I like to go back to that and really tap into the fact that we're moving so fast all the time. And I just came back from international travel to Panama, where I spent 3 days in a remote village in Bocas del Toro, where they don't have power. They don't have, you know, they're living very, very simply. And so many of them were just sitting on the porch, and their homes are very, very basic. And they were just sitting there just looking out over the pastures. And that's just the most basic human right that we have is to connect with the earth that we're on. And I think it's really important to slow down and go back to that space when we get kind of hectic or crazy or things feel unbalanced.
So what do you think about Michaela's story? I mean, honestly, it made me reevaluate my life and the priorities I have and really think about things and stuff and what actually matters. Not only that, but I think back on some of my own stumbling blocks and how I can reframe those in my mind. So rather than thinking about them negatively, I'm choosing to use them to help me step forward. It's not easy, but I figure if Michaela can do it, I can do it, and you can do it. And I think that if you can do this successfully, so many things can change, from the bank account balance to the career to the relationships and so much more. Just something to think about. You can find out more about Michaela at her website, michaelarenee.com, where she has links to her podcast, book, and you can even schedule a chat with her. So thanks so much for checking out this episode. You know, on this podcast, we're really changing our language around money to help others unlock the lives they want to live and then live them out on purpose. You are part of this movement, so it's up to all of us to invite others into this journey. Share this episode with someone that you think is really ready to make life changes they're never going to look back on. Invite them into the podcast so we can all talk about money in a new, fun, and hopefully fresh way.
Hey, where are you going? We're not quite finished yet. We just wanted to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money and for helping us create a safe space to talk about money. For more on this episode, check out the show notes, and don't be afraid to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Seriously, we love hearing from our Millennial Money family, so send us your rave reviews. We look good in 5 stars. Just saying. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.